Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
From the lakefront to the riverfront, this is where Wisconsin sports fans come to talk. The Bill Michaels Show, named Best Radio Show in the Wisconsin Broadcasters Awards for Excellence. Now, here's your host, Bill Michaels.
Welcome. The Bill Michaels Show is on the air. We are glad you are on board today. Thanks so much for taking a listen to us this Friday at the Wisconsin State Fair. And as we sit here today, it is a beautiful day. Beautiful day at the Wisconsin State Fair. So if you're looking for something to do, whether it's today or tomorrow or to close things out over the weekend on Sunday, man, this is the place you got to come. This is good stuff. Good stuff out here at the Wisconsin State Fair. Good stuff last night in Green Bay. Packers get a win, 31-17. They ended up, knocking off the Tennessee Titans last evening in what proved to be a game for, you know, some of the guys that are hoping to make a squad. Last night, a pretty good game, all in all, when you look at what the Packers were able to accomplish last evening. And in the grandest of terms, you look at the Packers in the sense that you got a guy like Jake Kumerow came up big last night. Valdez Scantling, 7 targets, 5 receptions, 101 yards, the longest being a 51-yard catch. Now, he did have a touchdown in the evening, but Kumerow's 52-yard touchdown reception, that was big last night. DeShone Kizer, he played pretty well last evening. He ended up with a 9 of 18. He ended up with a 74.8 quarterback rating, 134 yards, no touchdowns, no picks. Brett Hundley, his pick, he got hit in the pocket. He probably should have stepped up just a second sooner, but he gets hit. The ball pops into the air, falls into the arms of the defender, and he ends up with the interception. But 9 of 14, 108 yards, had the touchdown, had the pick. But then there was Boyle last night, 7 of 15, 130 yards, 2 touchdowns. Very impressive in his evening last night as well. So, all in all, what did you take away from last night's game with the Green Bay Packers, the Tennessee Titans, as the Packers, they ultimately get a win, and now they move on. They got the Pittsburgh Steelers coming to town a week from last evening. We had the post-game show. If you weren't listening last night, I'm sure you're going to be tuning in from here on out, but maybe you thought to yourself, I missed it. But we'll be doing it again next week, each and every week after every Packers game. Gary Ellerson, yours truly, we'll be breaking it all down for you. So looking forward to that. 855-830-8648. 855-830-8648. If you want to give us a shout, if you want to hit us up on Twitter, @Bill_Michaels, @Bill_Michaels as well. And then you can find Radio Joe @RadioJoeSports on Twitter, @RadioJoeSports. And there's the Facebook fan page. You can track us down there. I'm walking in last night into the stadium. And it's always surreal because you get out and you think to yourself, okay, I'm going into my place of business today. Oh, by the way, it's Lambeau Field, which is really cool. And then I get into the elevator, and the girl that runs the elevator, Gary and I are sitting there talking to her, and it was a different girl this year. Usually there's the same girl that runs the elevator for the media. She's been there the last 4 or 5 years. But there was a different girl in there, and we're going up in the elevator, and we kind of looked at each other and said, can you believe it's football season? Can you believe we're actually here? Beautiful night in Green Bay. Can you believe we're actually here? And I just couldn't believe that we're already into football season. But we are. And the Packers now have some stuff on film. Mike McCarthy last night talked about a lot of different things. He talked about, first of all, when it came to Brett Hundley, the play style, being able to kind of keep the tempo. He said the sack was a negative. But here's the question, and this might be more poignant. Who looked better to you last night, DeShone Kizer or Brett Hundley? Okay, that's the first question. And then the second question was, now, Mike's never going to tell you this, but Mike McCarthy, that's his guy. Brett Hundley's his guy. He's the guy that they chose. He's the guy that he's tutored and mentored. He's the guy that's come through the system. And Mike has pounded the desk and said, I'm a highly successful football coach, and we can win with anybody. And, you know, that's his guy. So he's going to give Brett Hundley every opportunity to lose that job. Whereas even if Deshaun Kizer or Boyle or whoever it may outplay him, he's going to give Brett Hundley every opportunity there is to lose that job, probably before he really should lose it. Actually, when you look at these guys, I thought last night Hundley, he looked okay, but you got to remember, Hundley's in his fourth season in this system. His fourth season. The one thing I will say, I thought that Deshaun Kizer had a better pocket presence. He moved a little bit better. He threw a pretty good ball last night. Had one that fell off the hands. Last night, Boyle had one. Man, oh, man, oh, man. Jamon Moore, that guy, that he's done it in practice. He did it again last night. He had a big one over the top, a big 35, 40-plus yarder. Hit him right in the hands, and he dropped it. Jamon Moore needs to call James Jones right now and say, James, how'd you get over to drops? And James is going to say, I called my high school coach, and my high school coach said, quit trying to run with the football and make a big play. Just catch the ball. And that's what Jamon Moore needs to do. He had three catches, 27 yards last night, averaged 9 yards a catch. His longest one was 9 yards, as a matter of fact. But he had a big one over the top and just didn't get it done. Didn't get it done. Had every opportunity in the world, just didn't get it done last night. But Equanimeous St. Brown, I got to tell you, I said, and Mike Clemens really kind of brought this up, watch that guy. Big, long, strong arms, long arms, can go up and get a ball. 6 targets, 4 catches, 61 yards, that longest being that 28-yarder over the middle last night. But he's the guy they like to get with those crossing patterns. Or those. He's not the deep guy, but he's the guy they like on those crossing patterns. He's not afraid to go over the middle, and last night he made a living going over the middle and then heading towards the sideline. So Equanimeous St. Brown, pretty solid night last night. Davante Adams, you know, 2 catches, 57 yards. The other one, a 48-yarder deep last night. So good stuff there. 855-830-8648. 855-830-8648. Give us a shout. What did you think of the Green Bay Packers last night? What did you think of the Green Bay Packers win over the Tennessee Titans? Zach writes on our Twitter feed, overall good game by the Pack. I felt Jackson and Oren Burks played well. Also, Gilbert off the edge in spurts. Wish we could have seen more out of Vince Beagle. Let's go back to your original comment, Oren Burks. Oren Burks had one play that was a negative last night. It was a crossing pattern over the middle. That's kind of why they brought him in. A little bit better wheels. He's supposed to be able to stay with those guys. He got burned on the juke move. It was a fake out, crossing pattern back in. And beyond that, he played really, really well. I was really impressed. And they gave him the helmet and said, here you go. Go out and call the plays, and you the man. And he took advantage of it last night. Oren Burks played pretty well. As far as being able to see more out of Vince Beagle, my Travius Adams, I want to see their names called a little bit more last night. I would have liked to. I'm looking for something out of those guys. Oren Burks last night led the team in tackles, 6 tackles last night. Lindsey Pipkins played pretty well, as a matter of fact, for the limited amount of time that he was in there. Ha-ha Clinton Dix, I thought, looked pretty good. Blake Martinez looked pretty good last night. Gilbert, as he had mentioned, coming off the edge. Gilbert, I tell you what, he had a couple of good tackles yesterday. He had quarterback hurry as well yesterday, getting inside. So not a bad night overall. You know, Kenny Clark early on, he stuffed the middle and ended up with a tackle. But some of those guys, the guys that you're really, really looking to, didn't really do a whole lot. Vince Beagle didn't really do a whole lot last night. And Montrevious Adams, as I had mentioned, not a whole lot in that area. Anyway, he had a couple of tackles on the evening, but I'd like to see more. So they've got stuff now on film, as we have on film. So I want your thoughts. 855-830-8648. Give us a shout. What did you think of the game last night as the Green Bay Packers knocked off the Tennessee Titans 31-17? This portion of the program is brought to you by our good friends at Cousins. And don't forget, when you're talking about football, the grill is kind of the quarterback. As it all gets started there, the grill is the person that walks into the party, and boom, things are heating up for the better. And that's the power to transform food from cold and boring to mouth-watering and grillicious, as they say. I highly recommend the pepperoni melt, which comes hot off the grill from Cousins. Everything else there, good as well. Taste the power of the grill. Cousins subs, that's where they believe in better. Your phone calls, your thoughts, tweets, emails, everything. Upcoming next on The Bill Michaels Show.
Wisconsin-wide, The Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Welcome back to the program. The Bill Michaels Show is on the air. We are glad you are on board today. Thanks so much for taking a listen to us. I got to tell you, Joe, what time did you get home last night?
I was in bed by 12:30.
Oh, you're killing me. Radio Joe, you're back today. How did yesterday's morning show go, by the way, locally? I heard a little bit of...
It went good. It was a lot of fun with Kevin Holden from CBS 58 in Milwaukee, and yeah.
He's fantastic.
Yeah, flew.
He's fantastic. So I got to ask you, because switching from football real quick, were you pulling your hair out on one of the Jobber metrics last night with the Corey Knebel meltdown?
Yeah, yesterday afternoon was unacceptable. Losing 2 out of 3 to the Padres. Sorry, I'm not going to be, if you want to try and find a silver lining in it, fine, but... people who tell me all the time, Joe, it's baseball, blah, blah, blah. That was a game you should have won. It wasn't even a question of you just had a bad game. You had it going into the ninth inning, and Corey Knebel just decides that I'm going to suck now and I'm going to put on 3 straight base runners. Are you kidding me? I mean, come on. Something's up with Corey Knebel, and I don't know if it's just because of the injury that he had earlier this year, and maybe it's changed him a little bit on the mound. Don't know. But that man cannot pitch the ninth inning anymore until he figures it out. Luckily, you got 3 other guys that can pitch in the ninth.
Well, and Soria didn't help the cause. I mean, I know Soria's been a closer in the past, but he comes in, gets a couple of quick strikes, and I'm thinking, okay, come in, mow him down, get a ground ball, get out of the inning, and then all of a sudden, bam! Oh, you went from being right on the cusp of being down by 2, giving up the grand slam. Now, granted, it was Corey Knebel who ended up putting the bases full of Padres, but still, Soria needs to be able to come in and close down that situation. But I agree. Look, if you had to go to a closer right now, I think I'd go with Jeremy Jeffress. Would you go with Jeffress?
Yeah, I go with Jeffress too. Sure, and if. Jeffress, for whatever reason, doesn't figure it out, then you go to Soria or you go to Hader. You have a lot of options back there.
Well, that's just it. I want to go to Hader because Hader's probably the most reliable at the moment, but Hader's also a guy that can eat up an inning or two. And I'm not a big fan of having your closer go more than an inning. Your closer comes in and just throws gas for, 12, 9, 12, 14, 15 pitches and calls it a day. I mean, that's what you want out of your closer. Once your closer gets above 20 pitches, then your closer is considered to be a struggling at that point in time. But I'd love to see Hader in that role eventually. But Hader's a guy that he can give you extra innings. He can give you a couple of innings. So I hate to take him out of that role where he can end up eating innings for you. And that's the only reason I would put Hader there right now. But there's no way I agree with you. There's no way I can put Corey Knebel back out there in a closing situation. I know they want to say they don't want to rip his confidence away and everything. But come on. We're talking about wins and losses now. And you just have to. You can't leave him in that position. So, anyway, we'll get more into that coming up here in a little bit. But the Packers, either way, I guess if you want to weigh in on either one of them, you can. We're going to talk with Tim Allen, host of the Baseball Postgame Show, coming up here at the bottom of the hour. And, Tim, I was listening to Tim a little bit, Tim and Tausch, yesterday as the game was wrapping up. And I was in Green Bay. I was listening to those guys. And, you can talk about every managerial situation that Craig Counsell gets into, but when you put Corey Knebel out there, I would have had somebody warming up, and after Corey Knebel could not get the second batter out, I actually, at that point in time, as I'm driving and listening to the game, I thought to myself, I'd pull him because he just has not looked good since he's come back from injury. He just hasn't. 855-830-8648, 855-830-8648. What do we have here for you? Got a lot of tweets coming in. A lot of people talking to both Brewers and Packers. This was from Bob, who says, watching Corey Knebel made me want to get sick. At least I saw some good things with the Green Bay Packers last night. What about that Boyle cat? Do you think he makes the team? Don't allow a good – and here's the reason why, and I say this all the time. Don't allow one good game to all of a sudden make that the person you jump on. Don't be fire-ready aim. Okay, Boyle had a good night. 7-15, 130 yards, a couple of touchdowns. That nice pass to Kummerow over the top. Big time last night. But don't let one game skew your view. Boyle came in, he's playing against the fours and guys that are just trying to make a team. Okay? Is he that good that he's going to go in and start blowing away the number ones? Because that's what you have to ask yourself. Is DeShone Kizer or Brent Hundley good enough to back up Aaron Rodgers and get you wins in the NFL? Is Boyle, is that the guy that you want to go with? That's what you have to ask yourself, not just what he did in because there's been a lot of preseason Warriors, but there hasn't been a lot of people that have been preseason Warriors that all of a sudden just took it to the next level and were able to do it and replicate that once they got, you know, kind of facing the real season, so to speak. Let's do this. Let's go to Dan in Oconomowoc. Dan, welcome to the program. What's going on, man?
Good morning, Mike. Bill, sorry.
Sure, yeah, what's up?
I think the Packers actually did really well. I was really impressed with the receivers, Scantling and Brown. I do have to say, I know he stole the thunder about Boyle, but I honestly think that that Boyle, he's probably the best I've seen in preseasons for a while, and he should have had 3 touchdowns. And I know it's a small sample size, but I think that Hundley just doesn't have the pocket presence. I think it's time to try to trade him, even for like a 7th-round pick or something. I think they're not going to get rid of Kaiser because they just traded for Kaiser, but I think Kaiser should be your second. I mean, I know there's plenty of season left, preseason left, but I like how calm that Boyle is for, you know, throwing and being having staying in the pocket and stuff. So I think they should give him a shot. I think he should be the 3rd string. I don't know what your thoughts are.
Well, I guess who are you going to knock out of there, Kaiser or Hundley? Hundley, we saw the litmus test of last year, and we saw that it just didn't fare very well. We saw that his pocket presence was maybe a half second too long. He just seemed to be a second behind the eight ball, and even in his passes. Now, his passes got better as time went on. Certainly the game against Chicago, he played extremely well. Even the game against Pittsburgh, played pretty well. But games at home, games at Lambeau Field, just couldn't win. Just couldn't get over. And last night he engineered a pretty solid drive early on in that ball game. But is it the fact that you've already seen enough of Hundley and other guys just need the opportunity, or do you think that there's a guy that's really genuinely got something?
I think Boyle. I have a feeling that they're going to trade Hundley, and I really think that this Boyle is something special. And I think that if they do send him to the practice squad, I think someone's going to pick him up, and they're going to have a solid second quarterback.
Good stuff, man. Appreciate it. He drops off. You get on board, 855-830-8648. Let's go to Andy, listening to us in Appleton on the Score. Andy, how you doing today, man? What's up?
I'm doing pretty well. How are you?
Good. What you thinking?
I was also, I know everyone's talking about it, I was very impressed with Boyle. And obviously, you have a difference in who each quarterback is playing against. But, I mean, just from a technical standpoint, I saw all 3 quarterbacks. Hundley, I don't see any accuracy with him. I mean, even plays where guys were making catches, they were diving everywhere. They had to leap up in the air, and that takes away some yards. So I do think that the receiving corps did a very good job. Kaiser, I understand the blocking wasn't that great, but he looked like he was panicking every time in the pocket. And running quarterbacks don't work in this league. He's got to be able to step up and make throws. And then I watched Boyle, and I went, you know, he took some hits. I mean, he stood in the pocket while guys are rushing in on him, threw a perfect deep ball with a guy barreling down his chest. I mean, I'm not going to be the person who goes, oh, well, yeah, he should be the backup, he should be the 3rd string. I'm just wondering if he keeps up that kind of play, who you get rid of, because I don't think you should get rid of Boyle if he's able to keep up what he just did. Personally, I think that Kaiser would be the safe one, and Hundley should be the one that goes, just because, I mean, last season, Packers fans aren't going to get over that. They just won't. They saw him play. They don't have any faith in him. And quite frankly, I think it's Bostic all over again. How do you bring the guy back? I just don't think that there's enough faith in him with the Packers fans.
Appreciate the phone call. Good call, by the way, on Brett Hundley and the accuracy. Some of the same things that we saw last year, some of the same things we saw when he was a rookie, I saw again last night, where some of those quick out patterns, some of those sideline passes, he, for whatever reason, has a really high release point. I don't know if it's defensive ends coming around the edge, getting their hands in the air or what, but he has a high release point. He doesn't go... He releases the ball high, and a couple of times he overthrew wide receivers that did have open space. And Brett Hundley has done that time and again, and it can become frustrating because you do have a guy open, and you're thinking to yourself, it should be, you just lead him a little bit to the out-of-bounds area, to the sideline, And it's one step, boom, make a catch, keep the feet in bounds, and you're advancing the football. And he is just at times throwing the ball high. So good call on the Brett Hundley notification when he talks about the accuracy of Brett Hundley. Let's do this. Let's go to Terrell on the north side. Terrell, welcome to the program, man. What's going on?
Hey, how you guys doing? Hey, Bill, how you doing, Jim?
What's happening, man?
I'm going to give you a few things that stood out to me yesterday. First thing, Devontae Adams is a grown-ass man. He's a beast. I thought Hundley played well, but you can tell Kaiser has more natural ability. Matravis Adams is going to be a player if he can stay healthy. And Quinn Rollins might be cut this year. And those are some things that I've seen just off the first game. Rollins is already behind the eight ball, I feel, the new acquisition of cornerbacks, and he did not do himself well yesterday. So.
Yeah, no, good call on the Quentin Rollins one, because I completely agree. Quentin Rollins did not do himself any favors yesterday whatsoever. He looked bad in a couple of different facets of that ball game, special teams and a couple of, I mean, he got burned early on in the game as well. Good call on that. Appreciate the phone call. 855-830-8648, 855-830-8648. If you want to give us a shout, by all means do so. Dawson writes, Hundley showed some flash, but looked like his old self. Really like Kaiser's mobility and Tim Boyle's Favre-like play. On D, I like Josh Jackson. Josh Jackson only had one incident, if you will, in which he ended up letting a guy go. But, that's the kind of thing that you put on film and you grow from. So now what you do is you watch for some of the younger guys that made some missteps last night. Now you look and see what it is they can do. And you look and see if they learn from some of their mistakes. That's the biggest thing in watching the growth of these guys. 855-830-8648, 855-830-8648. If you want to give us a shout, feel free to do so. We are broadcasting live at the Wisconsin State Fair. This portion of the program being brought to you by our good friends at Tobacco Outlet Plus Grocery. All you have to do is stop into any Tobacco Outlet Plus Grocery store and get the keyword of the day, because during the Harley-Davidson 115th celebration, they are giving away a brand-new Harley-Davidson XL 1200 in Vivid Black. We're going to be giving it away on Sunday, September 2nd at the Wisconsin Harley-Davidson out in Oconomowoc. Stop into the Tobacco Outlet Plus grocery stores all throughout Wisconsin. Get the keyword. You can chime in daily. Text the keyword to 77887. That's 77887. And you could be a winner. You only got a couple of weeks left to do this, as a matter of fact. 2 weeks from today is when this contest culminates, and then they're going to start notifying the winners. And they're going to bring everybody together at Wisconsin Harley-Davidson to see which key fits that new motorcycle. But stop in any Tobacco Outlet Plus grocery store, get the keyword, text in daily, and you could be a winner. All compliments of Tobacco Outlet and Tobacco Outlet Plus Grocery. We are broadcasting live at the Wisconsin State Fair. Coming up next, talk some baseball. Tim Allen, host of the Baseball Postgame Show, joining us next on the Bill Michaels Show.
You're listening to the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Welcome back to the program, the Bill Michaels Show. We are on the air. We are broadcasting live at the Wisconsin State Fair. We are inside the Goose Island Ale House and right next to the Budweiser Pavilion. If you're going to come by and say hello, today's it for our broadcast. Now, I'm going to be here on Sunday roaming around. But I'm going to be here as kind of the fan. I'm not going to be here doing a broadcast. Tomorrow, not here. You know what I'm doing tomorrow, Joe? And I have not been to I did country radio when I was in Cincinnati. God, this is back in the late 90s. Mid to late 90s. That was the last time I'd really been to a country concert. And Sherry is country girl through and through. So for a wedding gift, I bought her Zac Brown tickets. And I got a friend of mine that got us really good seats and did the whole VIP thing and paid for everything. And so that's the wedding gift. So we're going to see Zac Brown tomorrow. Going out to see Zac Brown tomorrow. Talk some baseball. Tim Allen, host of the Baseball Postgame Show, who can play anything on a guitar, whether it's country or rock and roll. I think he prefers the rock side of things. But Tim Allen now joining us. Tim, how you been, buddy?
What's happening, Bill?
So I got to ask you, yesterday, Corey Knebel, he does not even complete an inning, doesn't get an out, gives up a hit, four runs, three walks, can't find the strike zone. There's no way in hell I would have let him load the bases. I think it was one of the only missteps that I can seriously criticize for Craig Counsell, specifically not having anybody warming up when you saw clearly Knebel didn't have it. And yesterday they lose that ball game. Give me your thoughts.
Yeah, and I thought we discussed that. I heard you talking about that a few minutes ago, and we talked about that. Well, Burns was up in that eighth inning. Well, the reason Burns was up in the eighth inning, Brewers were batting right there, and if they put up a crooked number, then Burns was going to come in, and it would not have been a safe situation for Corey Knebel. So that being said, you've used Corbin Burns in high leverage situations, so shouldn't Craig Counsell then have determined, well, instead of, you know, hastening the process and getting Soria ready to go in a rush, why not go with Burns, who had already been up just a few minutes prior, just because in desperate times, desperate measures, and he decided not to do that. He's still developing, Phil, and I maybe it's an old school thought, but sometimes these pitchers, they would get offended if they're on the mound. They take a peek back to that bullpen, and they see somebody behind them. And I say no. This is all hands on deck here, and I'll pick you up and use that tact for connectivity. Say, hey man, just so you guys know, no matter what the situation, I may have someone up just in case. And maybe it was a learning moment for Craig Counsell.
Do you put Corey Knebel back in the closer's role?
No, not right now. I don't think you can do that right now. And he just about as much said that yesterday. Counsell did, and that they're gonna use him, and he's a viable part of the success here down the stretch. In theory, what has to happen is he's got to get his head on straight. He's got to throw some strikes. That bullpen is the best it can be with Corey Knebel locking down saves. That's fact, and Counsell said that. And they're going to do everything in their effort to get him back in that role. Just think about the way it all dials in and lines up with Jeffress and with Hader and Soria and Jennings and these guys. And I wouldn't give up on Matt Albers as well. I mean, he's a guy that's worth the investment to see if they can get his head on straight. So you have to go from right now. I think if you had to pick one, Bill, it's got to be Jeremy Jeffress.
Yeah, I was going to say Jeffress would be my guy because I don't want to take Josh Hader out of that multi-inning role. And he can give you a couple of innings, and a guy that can do that, I don't want to make him all of a sudden just a guy that's going to come in and throw anywhere from 9 to 12 to 15 pitches. I want him to be a guy that can continue to come in and get outs in an extended situation, and I that's the reason I would go. And let's be honest, I mean, Jeremy Jeffress has had that kind of ability as well in the past, where he's been the closer. Soria, I was not thrilled with. Comes in and gets a couple of good fastballs past him. One is a swing and a miss. Second one is a foul tip. After that was the grand slam. A little bit disappointing there also. It's not that I would not make Soria my closer because he's done it in the past. Everybody has a bad pitch. But that's not the best impression when you're early on with a new ball club.
No, and I think he's had some success, and that's why you get these guys, these types of guys that have been closers, and a lot of these, most all of these playoff teams will have multiple closers at some point in their career. They have been closers. I mean, look at the Brewers here. Soria, Jeremy Jeffress has had some success closing out games, and then Corey Knebel. But it's got to be Jeremy Jeffress, and you're right on the money with Hader. I just, as good as he can be and is, you're right. I think he's more valuable at being that bullpen swing man that can go from the sixth, dripping into the seventh, seventh into the eighth, and really you can put him in the ninth, then maybe get an out in the eighth, and then have him pitch to a couple of batters in the ninth inning to set up Jeffress. So they're still not in horrible shape in that bullpen, despite Knebel's screwy outing yesterday. They're not in bad shape.
I want to ask you, the guy that's been really heating up, Travis Shaw, are you feeling comfortable with the way he's swinging a bat now? Because he seems over the last, say, I don't know, 10 to 15 games, he really seems like he's starting to swing a solid bat.
Yeah, and against the lefties, too. And then that's what he's been doing. That was huge against the lefty to get a multi-hit game. And, yes, I'm really pleased with that. But it's not just him, though. And things will cycle through in order. It can't always, every game, be Yelich, Kane, and Suits. It's just impossible for that to happen. So when they have a little down portion of a run, these other guys got to pick it up. And it's got to be Moustakas aside, short sample size, but the guys that we're aware of here, not just Shaw, but Braun's been picking it up. Guys like Manny Pena have been picking things up a little bit. Orlando Arcia has been picking things up. So that is great news for the offense. We still, and we've been begging for it all year, Bill. We've been begging for it. We're still waiting on it. And I'm still going to say that this offense is the key, man. If they put a run together, this is going to be a special finish. If they can get their heads on straight, put that run together to coincide with the starters and a still good bullpen, it's going to be one hell of a finish.
Tim, does it concern you that they're beginning to stumble? They're playing basically 500 ball. The Cubs are heating up. The Cubs are well above 10, 12, 13 games over 500 at home in the last month and a half. It seems like what you expected from the Cubs, they're starting to give you. What you thought from the Brewers, you're expecting a little bit more. You're kind of holding your breath with each and every game. Don't get me wrong. I know you love it because it's exciting baseball. But as things stand right now, with the Brewers being a couple of games back in the standings, does what the Cubs are starting to do, the way they're starting to heat up, does that make you nervous at all?
Yeah, well, it should in a pennant race when one team starts to rattle. But I look at it as the glass little half full. If you're going to have a run, yeah, let's have a run at the right time. And if the Brewers are going to have a little funk that they're going through here, let's get this out of the way right now. They've, I think, essentially have recovered from the pre-All-Star game funk. Now, are they world beaters right now, as you say? No, but they're not losing 7-8 like they did in Miami and Pittsburgh. So you're kind of holding serve here a little bit. Cubs aren't running away with this thing. They're not. And here we go. We're down to 44 games left on the Brewers' side. They just haven't run away with it. Now, what's concerning is, in the span of 3 or 4 games, you sit around that 3-4 game out mark, and then you hit a funk. That's concerning to me. You hang around the 1-2, 2.5 mark, that's attainable. That's attainable in a weekend. That's attainable in a couple of games. The Cubs are a good baseball team. I've said it all year long. They're a good baseball team, but so are the Brewers. And whoever's going to get hot, we're 44 left, I would say start that run. Get this out of your system. Start that run in about 2 weeks.
Here's the additional thing to kind of put in the back of your mind is the Brewers will have 4 additional off days as opposed to the Cubs from now till the end of the season. Because the Cubs have some games that they still have to make up from the early rainouts. The Brewers do not, which means the Brewers are going to have 4 additional off days as opposed to the Cubs. The Cubs will play longer stretches of games straight than the Brewers will, which means the Brewers can then refresh that bullpen just a little bit more. Just one of those little statistical side notes that I know you're thrilled about.
Yeah, no, you're right on the money, and that's what's going to help this, what some deem as an overtaxed bullpen. And now with the lower leverage situations for Corey Knebel, it's going to impact the amount of higher-level situations for Josh Hader and Jeremy Jeffress. And you know, someone else has to scoot in there. I mean, if Knebel's not going to be the high leverage, you can't go to these guys every single night. So who's that going to be? Is it going to be Jacob Barnes? Is it going to be Dan Jennings? Are they going to lean on Corbin Burns on this? Are they waiting for the activation of Taylor Williams? And there's a key guy right there. He had a couple of bad outings that ballooned things up on him, on his ERA, but for the most part, he'd been doing a dynamite job. So they're going to need that other guy, but the off days definitely helped that out.
Hey, Tim, they added the bat and scope. Travis Shaw is heating up. We know that Moustakas is Moustakas. So let me ask you this. If you're going to go into the postseason tomorrow, what is your starting infield look like?
Well, it depends righty-lefty. It really does. And, Shaw's got to be in there. Your guy's got to be in there. Shaw's got to be in there. Scope's got to be in there. Moose has to be in there. And Zeus has to be in there. There's your infield. It's got to be Pena behind the plate. And then is it Braun or Thames in that outfield? That's would be the question mark. One of them's got to sit. And I think you go matchups with Braun or Thames. Both of them, in fact, Thames more as of late has been getting you the big bomb. Braun, although, has been still striking the ball well and at least improving here. He was leaning on, for a second there, leaning on 250. And I know that's not saying a bunch, but from where he came from, you know, 227 or whatever it was, that was a big climb for him. But the offense, on just by the looks of it, Bill, on paper and on a given game, and they are capable on any given moment to put up 3, 4, 5 runs in an inning.
Always good to talk to you, buddy. We will talk to you soon. Have a good weekend, and we'll chat again next week, okay?
Yeah, you got it, Bill.
See you, pal. Talk to you later. There you go. Tim Allen, host of the Baseball Postgame Show, joining us on the Schneider Orange Highline. Schneider hiring drivers right now. You work hard. They treat you fair. 80-plus years they've been getting it done. Call them, 844-PRIDE, or go to schneiderjobs.com. Stay tuned. Mike Lemons has a report from Green Bay coming up next on the Bill Michaels Show.
Border to border, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network. Now, a Radisson Hotel and Conference Center Green and Gold Training Camp Update, presented by Robert Hack Diamonds, where they'll pay you green for your gold. From Titletown, here's Mike Clemens.
The Packers defeat the Titans 31-17. Tennessee scored first on a 9-play drive and a touchdown from Marcus Mariota to Darius Jennings.
As an offense, if we can go out there, operations clean, you know, we're able to move the ball, obviously score points, but just getting in and out of the huddle, just little things like that, getting back into the tempo of a game, just making sure everything's clean and crisp.
Packers quarterback Brett Hundley responded with a 48-yard shot to Davante Adams and then an 8-yard toss to running back Jamal Williams to tie it up. Hundley after the game.
Just executed, you know, whatever's called, and just knowing what we do. You know, we can make plays with our feet as a quarterback. We can, you know, we're good at making throws when we need to make them, and it's just really play speed for us. So as long as we get that going and get the tempo moving, I think that's the best bet for this offense.
Mike McCarthy.
I thought Brett Hundley did some really good things. Got us started with the big, you know, the big throw there. So productive. Decision-making was sound. You know, I thought clearly his tempo was the best of the three quarterbacks.
It was a rough night for Green Bay rookie receiver Jamon Moore, who had 2 drops, just 3 catches on 7 attempts, his longest completion for just 9 yards.
Minshew. Couldn't really tell you. That's a play I make, so just got to put it behind me. It's part of life, you know. You're going to have some battles, so that's how you respond. So I got to go out there and respond.
From Lambeau Field, I'm Mike Clemens on the Bill Michaels Show.
Program, the Bill Michaels Show is on the air. Thank you, Michael. Certainly appreciate it. Mike Clemens last night sat next to him in that press box, and Mike has been with, kind of embedded with the team since the beginning of training camp. Always appreciate his stuff. By the way, our app, Royo's stat of the day, you can go with a couple of different things. Last night, Boyle, big night, 7-15, 130 yards, a couple of touchdowns. That long pass to Jake Kumerow, 52-yarder, gives him a quarterback rating of 116.7. He impressed last night. I mentioned Jake Kumerow. 3 catches, 76 yards, had a touchdown on the long bomb. Valdez-Scantling, 7 targets, 5 catches, 101 yards, 20.2 yards per catch. Had a 51-yard catch yesterday and a touchdown catch yesterday. The running game didn't fare as well. Jamal Williams, 5 carries, 16 yards, 3.2 yards per carry. His longest of the day was only a 6-yard carry. So the run game wasn't as prolific as you would have liked. You had a bunch of starters that did not play in yesterday's ball game. But defensively speaking, one of the things, as you know, if you follow this program or if you follow Gary and I during the Green and Gold postgame show, one of the statistical categories that we follow a lot is third down efficiency for your opponent. Defensively, how are you doing? Well, the Packers offensively were 9 of 17, 53% yesterday. Meanwhile, they held the Titans to only 33%. They were 4 of 12. But one of the other big categories, if you look, was punting yesterday. J.K. Scott, a couple of punts. Now, the first one was a shorter one because it was a pooch punt. He did the Australian backwards, kind of a goofy knuckleball type of punt, which was nice, went for a lot of hang time. Then he boomed one, 52 yards, 5.1 seconds of hang time, and everybody was impressed. And that is going to flip the field. If he can continue that kind of productivity throughout the season, he is going to be fantastic and a good pickup for the Green Bay Packers. But those are your stats of the day, brought to you by our friends at AppRoyo, implementing SAP and big data solutions to companies just like yours. And check them out on the web. All you got to do is go to approyo.com, approyo.com. Also yesterday, one of the other statistics that we want to get into going to the opposite side would be then the Milwaukee Brewers. And you get into the hot stick of the day because yesterday, Hernan Perez, he ended up going 2-for-4, scored a run yesterday, had one strikeout alongside. But Travis Shaw, 3-for-4 yesterday, scored a run, had one strikeout, left on base one time. But he's got the average now, if you haven't been paying attention to Travis Shaw, up to 254. Now, remember, he was in the 230s and 240s for the longest period of time. Over the last week, he's hitting 364. Over the last 15 games, he is hitting 333. And in the last month, he is hitting 295. To say Travis Shaw might have shaken off what was ailing him at the beginning of the season is probably pretty correct. And that is our Arroyo Stats of the Day and Hot Stick of the Game. Hot Stick of the Game brought to you by our good friends at Clements and the Snack Sticks. Don't forget, they are premium cuts of beef. And also, in addition to that, a great source for protein. Put them in the golf bag, the backpacks. Put them in the desk drawer. Whatever you need, a good snack, a quick pick-me-up. That is our friends from Clements. And if you want to register and win yourself a supply of the Clements Snack Sticks for an entire year, all you have to do is go to BillMichaelsSports.com. That's BillMichaelsSports.com. And you can win those there. Not saying I'm guaranteeing it or anything, but you can't have a shot at winning if you don't enter, right? So go ahead and take a shot at it. Go ahead and get registered. When we come back, going to go back to the Packers and the Brewers. You pick it. Packers, Brewers, whatever it is you want to chat about, let's bring it. Packers fans, let's talk about last night's ball game. Brewers fans, is Corey Knebel still your closer? Is it time to take him out of that position? More of the Bill Michaels Show right after this.
16 stations strong. The Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.